Start this. See, I had a couple of visitors that were going to come today, so I was going to do this a little bit of an overview, but I think I'll skip that. I would kind of like to get through chapter 18 if we can. So be turning in your Bible to chapter 18 if you would. And I had a missed call from Chuck, so I don't know where Chuck's at these days. He's been missing on Friday nights, too.
He texted me and said, have a good class.
I know he's been at his sister's.
Carla, would you mind handing these out for me? Thank you. He's been at his sister's some?
Yeah, we can pick him up down there, actually.
So, well, good. Hopefully he's okay. And so yeah, we turn to Revelation 18. I think I'll... I may just put these blanks on your on the overhead today. We have now been in Revelation for 51 weeks, so that's pretty cool. We're kind of winding things down, but thank you, Carla. So chapter 17 and 18 were about Babylon. And I thought these were kind of neat little ways that Babylon influences or entices us. The great whore, the wealth over wisdom, materialism over morals. And your blank was just the word lust over love. We know that to be true. Pleasure over purity, and I added one. If this one's not on your list, the religion over relationship, and I really feel like that is my testimony. My if you were raised in church, you probably had somewhat of a religious influence, and religion is more maybe about works, kind of works based. You do good, you try harder. But relationship is about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, having a personal relationship with Him. And these things need to be emphasized even in our church. We don't want our walk with the Lord to become mechanical. We want it to be fresh. We need to have His mercies new every morning. We need to sense His presence in our lives. And I put this graphic in here. I had it on last week's. If you might have saw it there, but you know, we're influenced by riches, and I think all of us have to war against that. It is kind of relative. I know when my very first mission trip was the year 2000. I went to Costa Rica, and we went to San Jose, Costa Rica. And the people there lodged us in their homes, and so when we got there, we had our little suitcase, and their church members came to the place where they met, and we rode home in their cars with them. And luckily, I can't remember who was with me, but we got to stay with Carlos and Hazel. No. And I think Hazel spoke pretty good English. But I talked my friend into going on this mission trip with him. His name's James Sherry, and it was his first mission trip too, and we had babysit his kids, and I don't even know if we went to church. I think we did go to church with him, yeah. But he was riding home in their car in these bad roads, like you're saying. It was like a 78 Pinto, you know. And he told me later, he goes, the people he was staying with, They had very poor English, but it was like, mi casa, su casa, you know, whatever, we don't have much, but whatever we have is yours. And they told him that. And he goes, Steve, he said, I felt like a filthy American pig. That's what he said to me was, you know, because we're riding home after dark on these rough roads in this little car through this little house where people didn't have much, but they loved the Lord. And so that is the point that, so we desire riches, we desire fame, we want power and influence, we desire pleasure, but our way of escape is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He may or may not give us those things, but you know, Brian talks about leveraging our resources for the Lord, whether it be time. If we have time, we can invest rather it be our finances. This week, my pastor friend Betson, he sent me a picture of two guys he led to the Lord this week. And I thought, wow, that's just, he does that almost every week. He'll send me a picture of someone that he's helped lead to the Lord. So we need to invest in the souls of men. And so in chapter 18, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And if you're in chapter 18, can somebody read verses 9 and 10 for us?
And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
We're going to see in this chapter the rest, how there's three different groups that they lament for Babylon. And this first group is these kings. I'm going to jump over here to my Bible program, and you guys have seen this before, but if you look at the screen here, I think it's in verse 10 here where they say, Alas, alas. I want to, if I turn on my Strong's numbers, and I go back down here to verse 10, and I click on these words for alas, the Greek word, it's this word, ooh-wee. And I was listening to J. Vernon McGee, and this word is not only translated alas, but it's translated woe, like woe. So these kings, they're lamenting, they're weeping. And J. Vernon McGee, he really emphasized, he's like, we should use the Greek word here. Ooh wee. Ooh wee. You know, what a horrible thing this is. We are so sad. We are wooing and we are alas, alas. Ooh wee. So now we all know a little Greek today. We can impress our friends and family with, if something goes bad, just go, ooh wee. So these kings of the earth, they distance themselves and they lament at how quickly she was destroyed. And like Jim was saying, talking to people from the 50s, you know, we're 70 years from the 50s or so, but in that short a time, we went from this group that there's no self-storage units, everybody's conserving and rationing. You know, fast forward 70 years, now we got enough storage containers that everybody in the U.S. could stand in one. So that's pretty amazing statistic, but it happens to Babylon quickly too. And what TJ read there, does it say, in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So this is God's judgment. And in verse 11, if somebody read verse 11, we see this next group.
and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.
So now the merchants of the earth are lamenting. So it was the kings of the earth, and you know, I wonder, you know, the kings of the earth were influenced by Babylon, and they were committing fornication, so they were all into her, but now they're kind of standing afar off, and what I think of, and you guys, hopefully nobody thinks terrible of me about this. Have you ever seen on TV where you see, like in Los Angeles maybe, that a mob like floods into a store and breaks everything and they loot the place? And all of us would say, well, that's just terrible. How could they do that and get all this free stuff? You know, somebody needs to stop that. But if you were standing there and you're just outside from this, you know, big screen TV or something you really want, you know, it's just free. It's sitting there. Nobody's going to stop you. And hopefully none of us would do that. But I'm just saying, that's kind of like these kings of the earth. They've been all into her, but now she's busted and God's judging her. They're like, oh, you know, I would never do that. And I don't want any part of this. So that's kind of how this is. And how it's going here for Babylon. It's like, oh, God called her numbers up here, and she's being receiving double for her sins. And then in 12 and 13, I'll read these, and if you want a little more clarity, we can talk about them. But in 12 and 13, it mentions these 28 different items. It says, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all finen wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And one person I listened to kind of listed out six different categories, and I kind of made it seven. There's these group of precious stones or metals. There's luxurious fabrics. There's expensive wood and building materials, spices and perfumes. There's food items, animals and transportation with the horses and chariots. And then it mentions these slaves and souls of men. And I think the one guy I listened to, he put the slaves and souls of men with the animals, because almost in some cultures, slaves are treated like animals, aren't they? They're bought and sold. Especially we think even today, maybe women in some cultures are treated less than you know, than others. And I don't know, I don't have really good examples personally, but anyway, thought very lowly of. What are you thinking, Pam?
So currently, there's a attention is being drawn to human trafficking.
Yes.
And they say that the people, they're usually not kidnapped and taken other places. They're trafficked by people that they know. Like this human bondage that is placed on women and children and some men. So that's what I thought of when you said that.
Almost enticed, maybe lured.
Required to do certain things and solicit certain things. And, you know, just evil.
Yeah.
They're bound up by that. that's human trafficking as well. You know, if you do this, I'll give you a place to live.
Yeah.
You'll have food for your children.
Yeah.
But you have to do this.
Yeah.
Well, and jobs are the same way.
Yeah.
Women are notoriously, oh, you will sleep with this guy, and I will give you a partnership or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Same theory.
Yeah.
So those are slaves. Souls of men are slaves.
Yeah. No, that's good conversation for sure. But all these things are kind of what Babylon is importing. And I looked up a few of these that I didn't quite understand. But anyway, they're kind of luxury items. They're very niceties. They're pleasurable. They're delicacies. And Babylon is consuming these things. And so I know Christianity and the Word of God does free us. It does. Paul said he was a bondservant to the Lord. So he almost made himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ, right? He served him so diligently. And I often tell the people in jail that. I said, you know, you guys can be more free in here than some of the people on the outside. I tell them that, and they get that. And so that some people out here can be in bondage, right? Even though you're quote unquote free, you can be in bondage, right? Either to substance or to the influence of things. And so, any other thoughts about that list? I thought it was an interesting list. And can somebody read 14, 15, and 16 for us? I think we'll try to get through the rest of this chapter today.
And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold, and precious stones, and pearls.
Thank you, Tracy. So, yeah, in verse 14, just like we mentioned earlier, that they promoted lust over love. Here in verse 14 that Tracy read, the merchants lusted after things that they can be found no more at all. They were dainty and goodly things. And so all of us like our creature comforts, but if they were taken away, would we still walk with the Lord? And the answer should be yes. And so these merchants cry, alas, alas. And that means woe, woe. And I think 2 years ago, our pastors, we get together every year around November, December. And I think it was a year ago, Brian, his message to the pastors was from Matthew 23. And in Matthew 23, there's eight woes, like woe to the Pharisees and, you know, woe to the religious. And he really talked to us pastors just about our walk with the Lord and serving Him with the right heart. And woe is us if we don't, right? If we do have any other motive for serving the Lord other than, you know, serving the Lord and wanting to reach people. Because, class, what are the two things in this life that are eternal? The Word of God and the souls of men. And the Word of God is eternal. So these are the things we want to invest our lives in, right? Can we say amen to that? The Word of God and the souls of it. We know God Himself is eternal as well. But in this life, the Word of God. So I remember one of the pastor's wives told me a long time, when I first got saved, I started going to a Bible study, and it was mostly like pastor's wives, so I was like the only guy for a little while. But she told me how that, you know, Steve, I try to not just give a tithe of my money to the Lord, but I try to give a tithe of my time. I thought, wow, if it's 24-hour day, that'd be 2.4 hours every day you're trying to serve the Lord. That's a pretty good goal, isn't it? I thought, you know, I never forgot that. And so woe is us if we don't. Now here in chapter 17, or chapter 18, verses 17 through 19. Jaime, you haven't read today. Would you read 17 through 19?
For in 1 hour, so great riches come to mouth. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust in their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that have ships in the sea by reason of her coastlines. For in 1 hour is she made desolate.
So here's the third group here is the shipmasters. They lament. So this is the third group here. So there's three worlds. I think it's at the bottom of your front cover. Three worlds enriched by Babylon, but now lament. It's the government world with the kings, the commercial world, and now the maritime world, or these shipmasters. And I think honestly, when I read that, that seems very. I mean, we're right here in the middle of the United States. We don't talk about ships very often unless we're going on a cruise. But it's all over the news right now, isn't it? All the ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is losing $500 million a day because their oil tankers can't get out. And so all this commerce. I know when my dad, he was a farmer by trade, but he was a truck driver by choice. And he used to tell me, like, Steve, you know, trucks move America. And, you know, we go by Sap Brothers every day, right? We kind of know that trucks are a big industry in our, but out in the world, it's ships, isn't it? I mean, railroads are part of it. So there's all this commerce. And right now, ships are in the news. So when we read this, this is pretty fresh, isn't it? Like, we can see how shipmasters probably today are lamenting, you know, woe is Iran, we can't get our tankers out. And anyway, it's not talked about a lot in the middle of the USA, but it's right here in our text and it's on our news. So turn to your back page now, and we'll my teaching point here, the commercial center's wealth is prophesied, and there's the Daniel 11 was a little better reference, but it was too long to put in here. But I put Daniel 8:25, and it's talking about the Antichrist, and through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And so that's a prophecy from Daniel. And if you get time today or this week, read Daniel 11, the last part of that chapter as well. Really goes along here with Babylon and Revelation 18. But in these last few verses, 20 through 24, we see another group of people, and these guys are rejoicing. They're not lamenting over Babylon. If somebody could read 20 and 21.
Rejoice over her, thou heaven and ye holy apostles, for God hath avenged you on her.
thing. I very angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying that with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more of all.
Yes, thank you, Ara. So, heaven and the holy apostles and prophets, they're told to rejoice here in verse 20. And I'll put that up here. There's rejoicing in heaven over the destruction of Babylon. And so, yeah, the people on earth, man, they're losing their wealth. Their craft is in jeopardy. And the shipmasters can't get their boats out. And so they're all bummed. But there's rejoicing in heaven because God has finally avenging His people. And that's why Romans 12:19, the last part says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And here in Revelation 18:20, God does avenge His or our enemies. And if you look at this screen here now, there's other times that we are told to rejoice. One is in Matthew 5:12, when you're persecuted, the Lord Jesus is saying, you know, rejoice because your names are written in the... Let's see, that's the next one. Rejoice when you're persecuted because they also persecuted the prophets. And so you're being counted worthy of persecution. In Luke 10, he says, you know, don't rejoice because you've got power to do miracles. You need to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In Psalm 96, it's really a second coming to rejoice at the Lord's coming. And then in Revelation 12, you rejoice when the devil was cast down. It says there in Revelation 12. So, and then the other verse I read was this mighty angel gives the illustration of Babylon's violent destruction. And you know, all of us, especially if you're a guy, you've thrown rocks in the water. We like to just skip a rock or throw a rock to see it, you know, make a splash. But I've never tried to go into the pond or lake and try to get the stone back out. And that's what this angel's telling us. It's like a giant millstone. Babylon is destroyed, like going... being buried, and they're not going to pull that millstone up out of the water again. And it's done with violence. And I think the very first mention of violence was in Genesis 6, you know, when God destroyed the earth with the flood. There was violence in the earth in those days, and so that they get a violent destruction. And that's also in Ezekiel 28, it's talking about Lucifer. When he fell, it says that there was violence in his heart. So this word violent, I kind of keyed on that. And my teaching point here is consider the stone that smote the image in Daniel chapter 2. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands. And that's what this... it said something about without hands that Hour read there, wasn't it? At the end of verse 21. Maybe it's something else we just read, without hands. I didn't, maybe not. But anyway, it mentioned stone there. And this verse from Daniel 2, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces." And I got a little map here that... see if I can make it bigger. We looked at this...
little arrows in the corner.
Let's see. Yeah. Do that, and then this, yeah. So this is a map of the Mediterranean Sea, and... we all know that Italy kind of looks like a leg with a foot or a boot at the end, right? And this little island or big island of Sicily is like hitting the toes of it. You see that? And that really illustrates what this Daniel 2, this stone without hand, it smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them in piece to pieces. And so I just thought that just the geography of that even looks like a rock hitting, a stone hitting the toes of the foot there. So that's kind of...
Babylon was? No.
Babylon was over here past Syria.
Iraq.
Yeah.
I guess something else.
But what we were saying that... the spiritual side of Roman Catholicism was in Rome, which is in Italy. Alright, so I didn't give any blanks at the last of this, so let's try to finish these last few verses. Can somebody read 22 through the end of the chapter?
And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in ink and no craftsmen. But whatsoever craftsmen be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. But the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that was slain upon the earth.
Thank you, Julie. You're a good reader. Some of those kind of get hard to, words get hard to say, don't they? So I took a little bit of offense to this at first because it's talking about these craftsmen. Because in my job, you know, we kind of think highly of the crafts. We of pipe fitters, and you know, this week we had some welders out there doing some welding, and we had to get hot work permits for them, and
crane.
And we had a crane this week. Did I tell you that? Okay, I did tell you that. Yeah. See, I had like six or eight guys working for me and my buddy one day. We were setting a big chiller up on the roof of our building. And so anyway, but, you know, kind of words are kind of defined by their usage. And the very first mention of craftsmen in the Bible is where they were making false idols, right? They were crafting these images and worshiping images instead of the Creator. And so being a craftsman, you know, that back in the day, seers made craftsman tools, and that was like the best because they would replace them for free and all that. Being a craftsman is not a bad thing, but it's saying that at some point there'll be no more. Whether you're a musician, you got gifts of music and instruments, or having a craft. Because you know the last part of witch is craft, right? So witchcraft is in there too, and so you don't want to be part of that craft either. And so they'll be found in them no more. And this millstone comes up again. And then in 23, the light of the candle shall shine no more. And I'll talk about that here at the end. And even this voice of the bridegroom or the bride, that's Christ and His church. And then it mentions sorceries. And this is twice, it's actually three times in the Bible. But the Greek word for sorceries is pharmakia. Pharmacy, it's translated witchcraft in Galatians.
Even the symbol for the hospital, like as Moses' staff.
Yes, the healing and
snakes.
And let me prove that to you just with the... If we go back here to... verse 22. 23. Yeah, verse 23. If you click on this Greek word 5331, sorceries, it's the transliterated word is this word pharmakia. And then you can see down here it's translated sorcery twice and witchcraft once. So that's where I got that information that's on your handout. And so that's instructive, isn't it? Because you know, we're being brought under the influence. You know, the verse in Ephesians 5 is it, you know, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we don't want wine or any chemicals to influence us or, you know, think, help us to think wrong, but we want to be filled with the influence of the Spirit, right? Just like Peter on the day of Pentecost, they thought he was drunken. He goes, you know, it's just the ninth hour. These men are filled with the Holy Ghost. And so that's why they almost seem drunk to you, because they're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of interesting that liquor stores are called spirits, aren't they?
And that would be like 3 in the afternoon. 5 o'clock somewhere.
No. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, so it was the third hour. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. So I think I did say the ninth hour. It's the third hour. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness. That's funny. All right, so then it even says in the last part of verse 23 about these great men of the earth. And Job tells us that great men are not always wise. And so these are great men have deceived the nations. So just kind of be careful who we're following. In verse 24, he talks about these blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain on the earth. And so I just leave you with this teaching point here. You know, when Babylon is destroyed, rather be the USA, or we think at the end of the tribulation there's some great earthquake that, you know, it islands are no more, the mountains are flattened, and so that's probably when Babylon comes to naught. But so right, because chapter 19 is when the Lord returns. So we're getting ready to look at 19 when we come back in June 14th. And it's darkest right before the dawn, and so it is with Babylon right before Christ's return. The day of the Lord is dreadful. There's no music, there's no craftsman, there's no candle. So we should all let the candle of the Lord inspect us now before His return. And this verse in Proverbs 20, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of the belly. And so that I like that verse from Proverbs. I think of the Lord like shining His light inside of me. And, you know, Steve, what are you thinking here? And you're pondering His thoughts. And so I think of things like that in a literal way. So that's chapter 18. We'll stop there. If you're going to the apple barrel with us, we've got a card for Pam. Has everybody signed the card? Have we passed that around? Where is that card? And Angie's going to, I didn't want Pam to be here, but Angie's going to collect a little money for Pam. If you want to give her anything, give Angie some money. We will give that to Pam if you want to share in that way. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed and go to main service. Lord, we do thank You for this graduation season, the free offs and the Deborahs, and now Pam's graduation coming up. We rejoice at this milestone, and Lord, in some ways it's just been a long time coming, and in other ways there's a lot still ahead. So Lord, I pray that each of these folks will savor the moment and help all of us to be kind of sober-minded as we think about kind of the excess of comfort, of wealth, of things that we have that maybe other nations don't. But Lord, I'm just thankful that your Son Jesus Christ is free, and that we can use our resources to kind of leverage them, as Brian says, to maximize our effect in eternity, and that we do have our opportunity to help others to come to know you. Thank you for this class and study of Revelation. I pray your blessing and as we're dismissed, in Jesus' name, amen.